We are in Revelation chapter 1. Let's begin with a word of prayer. What's the purpose of the prayer? It is to test ourselves, to see if we're trusting the Spirit, to open our eyes and our ears to the things that are going on in the passage before us. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, once again, we consider it a great privilege to assemble ourselves tonight for the purpose of allowing your Spirit to open our eyes and our ears to the things that you would have us to see and hear in the passage before us. A crucial passage in the entire book of Revelation, totally dependent upon your Spirit to see the urgency of what's going on here. Protect us from the powers of darkness that would seek to intrude on our scene. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, who studied that, human author, your brother, basis of our brotherhood is the new birth, related in the new birth, fellow partaker. Remember, this is the Granville Sharp rule. They're equal and related, the brother and the partaker. Next, we have the figure of speech of Hymenaeus. Three words, one idea. In the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance, which are in Jesus. Why are we spending 2 hours on one verse when we've got chapters to go in verse-by-verse study? A verse that most pastors, commentaries, writers spend very little time on. But I believe this is one of the most important verses in the entire book as far as you and I are concerned. And I believe that. I think that's where the Spirit has taken me, and I'll show you that in a moment. This is grasping verse 9. Is what this book, why you're given this book. You and I will not be here on earth during the tribulation. You and I will not be here on earth during the great tribulation. So what is the significance of all of this as far as you and I are concerned? And I think this verse is key. As many things as we've already studied about God, about Jesus Christ, about the Holy Spirit, about us, this to me is what's crucial in regard to our life. Seeing what's happening in the part that we're dealing with in this verse. Now, again, just to get you oriented to what we're doing, is we have in the verse the brother with the definite article there, the brother of you and partaker. This is Granville Sharp's rule. These two are related in equality, in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance in Jesus. Now, the way the structure is, there are three different words, tribulation, kingdom, and perseverance. They're all related. In other words, they all center on the first word following the definite article, the tribulation. So, let's take a look at what we have in structure of this part of our passage. In the tribulation, partakers with each other in the tribulation, related to the kingdom, related to perseverance. So, this is not the structure that we have here. What John is doing is showing us that this is not the suffering or the tribulation that is common to all men. This is a tribulation or a suffering that is directly related because of the kingdom in which you are involved with, you are a member of, and in perseverance. The kingdom of God, of which we are all brothers and partakers, a tribulation requiring unique perseverance. Brothers and partakers in the tribulation. This is why people, and this is where we kind of left off last week, this right here, if you can understand this, what I have on the board, you begin to understand why we serve one another in love, why we restore one another in love, forgive one another, all these type of principles. Because we are joined together in suffering, we are joined together in tribulation. And that, being that fellow partaker, gives a relationship that is not common to man. This is what we dealt with last week. Whether you like the illustration or not, you've got to understand, Jews and blacks in America, they have a partaker attitude. They are partakers that the world doesn't like them. We're black. Whites don't like us. They always are doing this to us. We've been mistreated. When whether you agree or disagree, that's their mentality. And when another black does something wrong, doesn't matter. Now, it doesn't matter because they don't know right and wrong. It doesn't matter because they understand the tribulation. Jews throughout the history of the church have the same common thinking. You're a Jew. Okay, you do right and wrong. We understand right and wrong. But we understand the tribulation, how the world hates us and has persecuted us and slaughtered us in Germany and all the things that go on. You're a Jew. And there's something about that. They are joint partakers in tribulation. And they know that. That's their mental thinking. That's their mental thinking about each other. Christians don't have that. We want to judge each other, shoot each other, separate from each other, malign each other, do all the things we can, because we don't have the thinking that's in this verse. Not just in this verse, but I'm going to share with you a lot. Because I'm going to take you one of the last things we're going to look at. Look at Acts 14, please. I haven't planned on doing this. I don't know why. Just to show it to you now. Acts 14, look at it. Beginning of the church. And let's look at verse 22, just one verse. Acts 14:22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, of the believers. And look what it says. Encouraging them to continue in the faith, continue to walking by faith. Strengthening, encouraging them to continue in the faith. Why? Through many, and look at your word, tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Look what I have on the board. Look what I have on the board. Brothers and partakers in tribulation because of the kingdom. Now look at verse 22. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. I'm sorry whether you like it or not, people. Another believer. We've got to do this not of the flesh like the blacks and the Jews do. We've got to do this in the leading of the Spirit. Have this attitude. There goes my comrade. That's my partaker. And yeah, they just did something wrong, but I'm going to tell you something. I understand the pressure they're under. Doesn't justify it. We seem to get this idea, if we forgive and restore and encourage, we're justifying sin. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're doing what we have in this and many other passages I'm going to show you. We're in a battle. We're in a real but invisible battle. See, blacks and Jews can see it. Jews were slaughtered in Germany. Blacks see what's happened to them in the ideal of slavery movement. They can see it with their eyes. But American Christians, we don't see that, because Christians aren't isolated as a group of people who are under physical tribulation of the world. We've got to be able to see this with the eyes of faith, which are more real than the physical eyes. They're going to go, this book is about a group of people that are going to go through a tribulation, the real tribulation, the 7-year tribulation, and then the great tribulation, the last 3.5 years, and they're going through tribulation. And they better have an attitude about each other. They better have an attitude about each other to encourage, to strengthen. Because it's going to be hard not to take the mark of the Antichrist. It's going to be difficult not to say that is the Christ. No, that is not the Christ. That's the Antichrist. It's going to be hard because it's going to look like what we think the Christ should look like. Instead of, oh, you did it? Well, then I'm separated from you. You're just wrong. No, we don't have that attitude. They can't afford to have that attitude. They've got to have an attitude to come into you. Look, that's not him. Let's talk about it. Let's pray about it. Instead of maligning and judging and separating. They're headed for some tough time, people. American Christians, as a body of believers, have not experienced this yet. That's why we don't have this thought process that the Jews and the blacks do. Well, you go through combat. You go through a battle. You go through tribulation. Real or imaginary? I'm going to say that some of what the blacks think is real, some of what the blacks think is not real. It doesn't matter. They've got this mentality about each other. You're a soul brother. You're a soul brother. Just because you're my skin color. You're a Jew, just because you're a Jew. We're brothers. Christians got to have that same thing, because people, it's related to this tribulation. And let's go back to Revelation chapter 1 now. The brother of you and the co-sharer in the tribulation. I don't have to put the word tribulation on the board. We didn't do it last week. Sekoinonos, or co-sharer, sekoinonos, an adjectival noun, companion, participant, partaker. Every one of us, sinner, non-sinner, great or small, rich, poor, male, female, young, old, if you're in Christ, you're a co-sharer. You're a co-sharer. And I'm going to word it this way. I wish, I pray that the body of Christ would have the same attitude about every Christian, that every black has about another black, and that every Jew has about another Jew. But the real reason, because of what happened on the cross. Not because of race, but because of what happened on the cross. We're joined together. We've got to have this thought in us. People, we're in a combat. We're in war. We saw that in 2 Corinthians on Wednesday night, 2 Corinthians 10. In a war! Ephesians chapter 6, we battle not against flesh and blood. We're in a greater tribulation than all of these others. And we have far more right, far more responsibility to think this way than the blacks and the Jews ever will. And I just picked them out as two groups of people who have this attitude toward each other just by sight. Just by sight. We've got to have that same attitude. Next, the prepositional phrase, in the tribulation, with the definite article there, a specific tribulation. Not anything like the world knows. People, unbelievers suffer. You and I know that. Unbelievers experience divorce. Unbelievers experience diseases. Unbelievers experience firing. Unbelievers experience a lot of things. It's not like you. This is a unique tribulation. This is unique to us. This is not arrogant thinking like a Jew or a black might say, this is just happening because I'm black. This is just happening because I'm Jew. They won't let me belong to the club because I'm Jew. I didn't get the promotion because I'm a Jew. Because I have a long nose. No. People, you and I are in a real conflict. A real tribulation. Our husbands are in a real, our wives are in it. Our children are in it. Our friends are in it. People in the church are in it. And we've got to be able to see this with the eyes of faith. So the tribulation. Philippus means pressure. Think about these words. Pressure. To be compressed. To be squeezed. With the objective to crush. To break. Grievous affliction. And here's the heart of suffering. Grievous affliction. Think about these words. It's because they describe every believer you know, including you, at some point in your life. If you're married to a fellow partaker in the tribulation, people, it includes your marriage. And you've got to understand that. Your associates in the church, at work, if you're a pastor, evangelist, whatever, you're in this. Now, it is invisible. Think about the first book. First book of the Bible. Not Genesis. First book written, Job. Tribulation. Where do you get it from? Got it from other believers. What's he say in the middle of the book? Satan, you crushed my soul? No. He says to his three friends, why do you crush my soul with your words? Why do you come down on me so badly that it hurts and crushes? Same word we have for tribulation. Why do you do that? Christians give more pressure and hurt and tribulation to one another, and the world is doing it. Satan's doing it. So, it's invisible. The war that you and I are in is invisible. It's an invisible war. The people, it's real. It's a spiritual war. But it's real. It hurts. It crushes. It causes other believers to sin. Oh, God, isn't it easy to judge somebody's sins and you don't like it? How easy is it to judge? How difficult is it to carry out what happened on the cross? To help them lift up the burden of their sin, which is what Galatians 6 is about, so that they can get up and walk in the power of the Spirit. We don't want to do that because we don't see the conflict. You're in a war, physical war, battle. You may not even like this guy. You don't like him at all. He's a bum. He's a total bum. He's caused trouble to the regiment, to the squad. He's caused trouble all along. But you get in that battle, and he falls. You see him get shot. You go over and you help him. You get him up. Why? Because you're a partaker in tribulation. All bets off at that point. You're my partner. We're partners in this. We're partakers in this. You get shot, I get shot. I'm going to help you up. That's what you do when you think in this terms. That's why a lot of whites don't like Jews. That's why a lot of whites don't like blacks. They don't understand that. They don't have that mentality. They don't have that thinking. That's what a man. That's what a man. Right or wrong, that's what a man. Tribulation brought them to that point, people. 2,000 years of anti-Semitism. 2,000 years just to its age. Or some 1,500 years before that, some 2,000 years, want to combat it totally. But it started out in slavery in Egypt. 4,000 years of tribulation. You don't think they have a bond between them? You don't think they don't see themselves as partakers in something? You bet they do. And nobody has to tell them. It's there. Not with Christianity. We like to see each other. We don't have this. So it crushes. This war that we're in, it crushes. It causes to sin. It causes to be in fear. It causes some believers to just quit. To just quit. Person saved by Christ, in Christ, wonderful spiritual gift for one another. Remember, gifts are for the church. Quit. Set aside. Just set aside. And other Christians in their arrogance and self-righteousness, well, they deserve that. They deserve not being able to be used. That's their attitude. You won't find that in comrades who are co-partakers. They don't think that way. They don't think that way at all. We've got to understand the truth of how things work. What's going on? What is the way of the cross? People, let me ask you, what is the cross? What's the cross all about? What's the cross about in a lot of different ways? People, the cross, we can talk about salvation one, but I want to tell you something. If you're saved and you walk away from the cross, you've lost the whole deal. Because our whole life is lived in the shadow of that cross. And what is that cross about? Tribulation. Suffering of the cross. And you're identified with it. Not just at salvation one, but throughout your whole life. You're identified. Paul writes over and over the sufferings of Christ on us. They don't think that way. People are saved, most Christians are saved by the cross, what the cross talks about, but they live under the shadow of the law instead of the shadow of the cross. They live under the shadow of Mount Sinai instead of the mountain of Mount Zion. Roll their eyes when they talk about the cross, but don't ask me to live under that same rule, because now I've got to go to the law. Got to understand what John is saying in these passages before us. Got to understand the thoughts that he has here. So many Christians think they're living a great life when everything is going well. That's where a lot of Christians in America think today. Boy, if everything's going well, my family's doing great, my work is doing great, and I'm actually being prospered because I'm a great Christian, i.e. Job's three friends. And other Christians that have everything going to hell with them, and other Christians are like Job's three friends. Ah, see, they're not really close. People, let me tell you something. You understand the Bible. Your light shines the brightest in total darkness when things are not going well. I present to you that throughout 2,000 years of church history, some of the greatest Christians, walking in the power of the Spirit, never knew prosperity at all. Did he know it? In the physical world, no. Your light shines the brightest when your life is just crushed in. Your marriage is crushed in, broken, and ended. And your finances are crushed in and broken. While others are judging you that you're not with God, you may be so close to God that even you can't even understand what's going on. This is why you're going to have this next word that we're going to look at. Perseverance. This is a key word. Not prosperity. Not enjoyment. Right there. Perseverance. Because you're going to need it when you're walking in the power of the Spirit. Because the world hates that. Satan hates that. So you're going to have to come under this kind of thing. The most Christians say, boy, when everything is just going so great, man, my marriage is great, my children are great, they're all making good grades, and my daughter's not pregnant, my son's not in drugs, and this isn't going on, and that isn't going on, and man, I'm just so great with God. Wrong, probably. You don't even know what the battle's about. You have no idea what that passage is about. You have no idea what combat, spiritual combat, is about. You think you're a great Christian. I suggest you may not even be in the battle at all. These are the things that are going to happen. So, let's stick what's happening in Scripture and what is it now. And this tribulation is related to kingdom. Let's go back up here now. See how we're going to put all this together. This does it best for how all this works. Because the suffering, the tribulation, the crushing that's going on in your life is unique because it is related to the kingdom. Remember how this section is grammatically set up. The tribulation is directly related to the kingdom. We're not three different things. The tribulation and the kingdom and the perseverance. No. It's the tribulation related to the kingdom, the tribulation requiring the perseverance in Christ. So let's look at in the kingdom. Now, I've already showed you Acts 14, and what did it say? There's much tribulation. We're going to enter the kingdom. Very few Christians even understand that. But there are those who do. There are those who do. And you're going to find out from them. They know how to forgive. They know how to restore. What Christ said to Peter. Peter committed the most fundamental of all sins. The most fundamental of all sins. Worse than adultery. Worse than stealing. Worse than arrogance. He denied Christ, which is at the heart of all sin. Every time we sin, that's the foundation of all sin. He committed the most fundamental. He denied God. And what did Jesus Christ say to him? When your faith returns, Peter, I want you to go and restore. Do you know he did not say that to any other disciple? You read 1 and 2 Peter, and we may have to go over and study it. Because what's it filled with? It's filled with tribulation and suffering. The man knew it. The man experienced it. And that's what his two books are about. Peter's able to go to another believer who falls so far they deny Jesus Christ and lift him up and encourage him. Because why? That's what the Savior did to him. First person Jesus Christ sought out after the resurrection. First person Jesus Christ sought out. Not the first person who saw him. That was that wonderful, wonderful woman at the grave. But the first person he went and sought was Peter. Why? Because Peter was hurting. Because the last time he saw his Savior, he denied even knew him. Cursing. Blankety blank, I don't know the blankety blank man. He crushed his soul. Christ sought him out and restored him. The thinking that you have when you go through the tribulation we're talking about. We get into this book, we start studying the people that are in it in the first 3.5 years, and especially the second 3.5 years. People, you're going to see an affinity between these believers. It's remarkable what they're going to have to go through. But the Antichrist, the murderings, the slaughterings, all the things that are going to go on, it's going to bind them. It's what's supposed to be happening inside of us. It's what's supposed to be doing with us. Now, let's look at the kingdom. Are you in tribulation related to the kingdom? People, like, it's been 7 months on this. And you'd benefit. You'd benefit. I'm not going to. But there is the kingdom of heaven. There's the gospel of the kingdom. There's the kingdom of God. There's his kingdom, the eternal kingdom. And books are written on all of this. They even debate, what's the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? Is that different from his kingdom or the eternal kingdom? Now, for now, I'm going to develop this as we go through the book, but I don't want to spend 6 or 7 months here. For now, the kingdom referred to here is his kingdom, which you're a member of, the eternal kingdom. Kingdom which you and I belong. And people, you are in tribulation because of that kingdom. Now, let's talk about it without a lot of points. Arguing about the kingdom, I got something more important than arguing about the kingdom. And which kingdom do you think it is? I want to tell you what's going on here. Most of you, I hope, have a good understanding of what it means to be a citizen of the United States of America and what a privilege that is. what an honor it is to be a citizen of this country. It's most valuable. This citizenship is most valuable to most of you, both here and listening to tapes. Now, there are those that it's not. There are those throughout our history, right up today, including pastors, who don't think it's such a great privilege to be in America. They like to look at the wrongs going on. They like to emphasize how everything's wrong. People want to tell you how wrong everything is. You and I have the freedom to do something about it. That's how wrong everything is. That's pretty good. You want to talk about our education system, our political system, our judicial system, and all these other things? Let me tell you what's wonderful about this country. You and I still have the privilege to live and walk how we want. That's pretty good. So there are a lot of people who understand and consider it a great privilege to be a member of this nation. There are many who do not. But if you understand history, all through history, you consider this a great freedom of being an American. But you know what else? Especially now, this fits very well now. You don't suffer because you're a citizen of this country. Just because you're a citizen of America, there are places in the world today you're a target. And I'm sorry to say, right now, even in our homeland, just because you're an American, we're going to kill you. We're going to terrorize. Just because you're an American, you're identified as an American citizen, you're a target. You go to a lot of countries in the world. In fact, you don't go to a lot of countries in the world. Let's put it that way. Not you go to, you don't go. You know better. You have any brains at all. You're not going to go visit certain countries just because you want to see the beauty of some foreign country. There are countries you don't go to. Why? Because you're an American. And just because you're an American, you're not wanted. It has nothing to do whether you're a nice guy, a wonderful person, wonderful lady. It doesn't matter. You're an American. You're a target. We're going to blow you up. You're going to suffer. Possibility of suffering just because you're an American. Just because you have citizenship here. Terrorist activity aimed at America. Aimed at you. Why? Just because you're an American citizen. You're not even in the military. You're not even carrying a weapon. You haven't waged war in any way. But you're an American citizen. And you're a target. Okay, get this in your mind and your soul. If you're a Christian, you better understand and remember that you belong to an invisible kingdom, but real. You are a member of a spiritual kingdom, and just because you are a member of that spiritual kingdom, you're under attack. Please remember that. Every Christian is under attack just because you're a Christian in America. You're under siege. The world and Satan do not want your marriage to work. They do not want, if you're going to a church that teaches truth, they do not want that to work. They don't mind these big things that are going on as long as they're not teaching the truth of salvation 1 and 2. That you're saved by faith, that you're restored by faith, that you live by faith. But if you want to add any works to any of those, you're not in the battle. You're already taken out of commission. He's got to do whatever he can to stop it. You are hated by the world just because you're a Christian. Jesus Christ informs you that you are hated by the world, and you better understand what being hated by the world means. What does it mean? Oh, I'm hated by the world. Man, it sets me apart. Yeah, well, wait till they start hitting your marriage. Wait till they start dismantling your church. Where do they start? They being Satan. They being the powers of darkness and used by the powers of the world. Where do they start dismantling you and your home and your family and everything financially, every way? And the world can't even see what's going on. But you and I can see because we have the eyes of faith. This is happening because you are a believer. We must understand that the world, by various means, it attacks your everyday life, your marriage, your family, your thoughts. This is why Wednesday night, stress, anxiety, depression. Why? Because people were in a war. What did Paul say in 2 Corinthians 10, which we're studying right now? Though we're in the flesh, we're not of the flesh, and we do not war of the flesh. War! We're in tribulation. The Christians don't see that with each other. Everything's isolated, but we're in his kingdom. You belong to a spiritual kingdom, invisible but real. You are in a spiritual warfare, not against man, not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness. You're living in the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And you don't belong here. And Satan doesn't like you. A tribulation related to the kingdom. Look with me, if you will, at the Gospel of John 18. You're in an earthly, you're in a spiritual kingdom. Your suffering is not the suffering that the world knows. Jesus Christ was standing before Pilate. Tribulation, suffering. Just prior to intense suffering of the cross, and this is what he said. Gospel of John 18:36. Jesus answered, and look what he says. Now, first, before you read it, don't look there. Look up here. Tribulation related to a kingdom demanding perseverance. Look what Christ said. Jesus answered and said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." And people, that's your kingdom. That's your kingdom. Part of this kingdom and your tribulation is your being a member of it is the reason of the tribulation. Now, please get this in your mind, if not in your notes. Especially if you come to our study on Wednesday night. Your value, your self-worth, has absolutely nothing to do with this world. The thing that causes so many believers to be stressed and depressed are related to the world. My performance, others' opinion of me, Satan's lies. What I have, what I don't have, how I look, how I'm not strong enough, handsome enough, beautiful enough, how this, how that, how I don't make enough money, don't drive the right car, don't live in the right house, I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too this, I'm too that, I'm too thin, too overweight, all these other things. And people get Christians depressed about it. My marriage is broken up. I'm a total failure. Don't you know in the kingdom there is neither marriage in heaven? Yet we have this whole thing put on Christians in the world that, boy, somehow if you end up in a divorce, you are a second and third class Christian. People, that is wrong. That is evil. That's putting pressure, stress, anxiety. You're Job's three friends. People, we're in a war. We're in a battle. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting, that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this world, and neither is yours. And therefore, neither is your self-worth, your value, your ideal of yourself has nothing. And I mean that, and that's hard to do in America, especially hard to do in the Metroplex. To get into your mind, my self-worth is not measured by this world. My self-worth is not measured by what others think of me, even other Christians. They crucified and crushed Job. People who live on a performance standard, you're great as long as you perform. Whatever the four may be, one is moral righteousness, one is learning Bible doctrine, one is emotional charismatic experience, one is service. As long as you do well, you praise your performance systems. You walk by faith. Every one of you walk by faith. You know there is no performance system. We're all equal. It all depends on who and what he is. And that's why we can what? We can restore one another, forgive one another, love one another. Because when you live by that kind of faith, it just says, I trust you. I trust you to save me, restore me, bless me. By faith. You have a binding with partakers in that because there's no performance. And somebody fails, there's no problem with it. Why? Because we weren't here on performance basis. You're not moral enough. If you're living in the first one, moral righteousness, and you do something immoral, it's over. You're on a performance standard. Learning Bible, you're not learning enough Bible doctrine. You're not taking it in enough. You're not charismatic enough. You're not doing what? Serving enough. All performance and opinion of others. Satan got you right where he wants you. If you start walking by faith, you're not walking in this kingdom of light the world can't even understand. So, the world hates you and desires to do what? Bring you down. control you. The world tries to get you to live by its rules, by the law. And not by the law of Christ or the law of love, but by its laws that it has. Look with me at the Gospel of John 15, please. Gospel of John 15. Verse 18. This is your Savior. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Oh, God, how I wish the body of Christ loved its own. But let's go on with what we're dealing with. If you were of the world, conducted of the world, lived of the world would love you. The world would love its own. But because you are not of this world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore, the world hates you. People, it's not about us. It's not about your performance. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's about Him. Why do we have that camaraderie, that partaking, share of partaking? Because we're in Him. Why do we forgive? Because we are in Him. Why do we restore? Because we're in Him. Not because we're in what we are. Not because we're in what we are. Please look at 1 John. Go toward Revelation and find 1 John. Same author as the Gospel of John, same author as Revelation. We get a mindset. I love the mindset of John. First John chapter 3. First John 3, verse 13. First John chapter 3, verse 13. Do not marvel, brethren, if the world hates you. I love that. I love that. Why wouldn't the world love me? Man, I'm pretty great. What do you mean they don't like me? The world likes me. Not at all. Do not marvel, brethren. There's that word brethren right up here. Brothers, see it? We're so afraid to call each other that. And I'm not advocating that we go around calling each other brothers. But isn't it interesting that the blacks have no problem? My soul brother. My brother. My brother. Why do they do that? Because they have been sensed a tribulation, enslavement, prejudice against them. They sense it. Let's don't argue right or wrong. True or untrue. Let's deal with the reality of where they are. They have no problem. That's my soul brother. It's mine. We're related. We're under the same tribulation. People, that's what Christians need to do. We're under the same tribulation in this kingdom. We're in that same tribulation. And this is going to be paramount in the 7 years of the tribulation. Verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life. How do we know that? Theologically? There are a lot of preachers, Christians that can talk about it theologically. Look what Scripture says. We know we have passed out of darkness into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. And don't just set this love aside as some traditional idea, this great big 300-pound guy sitting on the couch with chili all over his t-shirt saying, I love you, honey. No, this is a love that acts. This is a love that is sacrificial to self for the benefit of others. How does Jesus Christ love? Here's Jesus Christ. We ought to love one another as Christ loved. Christ loved sacrificially to self, For the benefit of others, generally his enemies. That's how he loves. That's what love does. Love sees what needs to be done. Love covers a multitude of sin. What does that mean when the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin? I'll tell you why. Here's the sin of a believer. What the law does, and people who live by the law, they get here, stop, look at the law, look at the sin, and concentrate on it, and deal with you accordingly. What does love do? Spiritual love. What does spiritual love do? It looks over the sin and sees the need. What needs to be done. That's why love covers a multitude of sin 3 or 4 times in the Bible. Does that mean it doesn't see it? No. Does that mean it doesn't care? No. It means it looks over and sees what's needed with this person that's in sin. Why do they sin and what do they need to get back up? Can I lift their burden so they can get back into the spiritual life? Galatians chapter 6. You've got to have a mentality. You've got to have a mindset. You have a mindset of law, righteousness, and justice, works, and all of that, performance. Or you can have a mindset of the cross. It's up to you. That mindset is going to guide you and how you deal with all these kind of things that happen. So what is important here is your understanding of love. This is not human love, not creature love. This is spiritual love, given by the Holy Spirit to the believer walking by faith in the Spirit. This is God's love, poured into us by the Holy Spirit. Most humans, even Christians, love is conditional. Performance. I'm talking about Christians. Most Christians' love is performance. If you fail to perform, their love fails to perform. What's the love of Christ do? You fail to perform, His love pours on all the more. Isn't that amazing? Do we sin that grace abound? No. Does grace abound when we sin? All the more. Got to remember that. Do I sin that grace abound? No, not at all. Does sin grace, grace abound when there's sin? Yes. All the more. Got to understand the battle. Understand where love fits into this whole thing. Dealing from the cross on. So this is what is issue. Now, let's go back. First Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, your brother, the fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom. Very few Christians walk in the power of the Spirit, therefore very few sense the tribulation that we're in. All people, all Christians, and all unbelievers, they have problems like the rest of the world, but they have no power related to the spiritual warfare. Therefore, they have no sense of the brotherhood with another Christian in this tribulation related to the kingdom. It's a mindset. Oh, well, they're experiencing that trouble because they're not dealing with God. They're not coming to church. They're not doing one of or whatever our four circles are. If it's a moral performance, well, they're having because they're not doing that. They're not learning doctrine. They're not having charismatic experiences. They're not serving God. So we separate. It makes it real easy. People, it's easy to be walking down the road and see some guy beat up along the road and just keep walking. It's not easy to say, turn aside. Let me see if I can help you out. Let me see if I can help you. And I'm a Samaritan. You're a Jew. But I'll tell you what, when you're down and out, you don't care what he is. He picks you up. That's Jesus Christ. He takes you to the innkeeper. That's the Holy Spirit. Turns you over to the innkeeper. That's what Christ does for us. He turns us over to the innkeeper because he's leaving. And then he'll come back in a short time and get us. But during that time, we're turned over to the innkeeper. People love, sees the need, and meets it. But most Christians don't think that way because their whole mentality is not in the realm of reality. I don't have enough time, but I've got to get to a certain point tonight. But we've studied this so many times, but let's just look at it one more time. And that is, and I won't go through the whole thing, in dealing with the battle, but there are two realms of reality that a believer can live. One realm of reality is dealing with sin. And if this is the area that you live in, your mindset is always the justice of God and the righteousness of God and the law and works or performance because of the sin or to stop the sin. And your whole mindset in dealing with other Christians is right here. Here's your vocabulary. The way you think, day in and day out, justice and righteousness and sin and law and works and performance. Or you can live over here. There's a cross triangle. What's your vocabulary? What's your mindset? Without even trying to think about it. It's just automatic. Your mindset is love, grace, and faith. There's your mindset. See, the Bible says, this is not reality. This is not where you ought to live. Why not? Because of the cross work of Christ. And here's your mindset toward others. So it deals with our mindset of what is reality. So not only do I remind you of the blacks and also the Jews, they just live under this identity of one another. They don't have to even think. Now, the Jews do a little bit more in relating it to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and they relate it more to that idea But it's just as because you're raised a Jew. Because you're not Christians. Blacks are the same. It's just because you're black. Because we were slaves in Africa, and we were this, and we had been maltreated and all of that. And we could sit here and argue, is that really true? No. Does it really matter? No, because they had that mindset. It's a mindset. What's your mindset about other believers, wherever they are? See who you can separate from? People are going through tribulation. You better have your mind made up which way you're going to go in the tribulations that Christians have to go through. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance, which is in Jesus Christ. Not only is the tribulation related to the kingdom, but also to our perseverance in Jesus. Now, let's spend our closing time on that. Then our close time, and we've got some things we need to look at here. Perseverance. Some translations say patience. So we'll put perseverance. We'll put endurance, patience. Now, I want to look at the word that we have in our text here. The word is a beautiful word, even in the Greek. It's hupomone. I love it. Hupomone. Hupomone is the Greek word. You can write it down because I'm going to give you another word in a minute. Hupomone, perseverance, endurance, patience, remaining under, bearing up. I want to quickly, for the sake of making it through this without 100 points, let's contrast this with another word that we're familiar with in this church in our study in 1 Corinthians 13 in the description of spiritual love. The first thing said about love, the first thing said is not love is wonderful. Love is sweet. Love feels so good. Love is so rewarding. The first doggone thing about love is long suffering. When I first taught this, I had fun teaching it because I said, you know, I'm a bachelor and I sure would like to get married and all that, but first thing I don't want to hear about love is that it's long suffering. I don't want to get married and suffer. What kind of deal is that? Remember when we did this years ago, we talked about like we're all gods and goddesses in the Greek pantheon. And so we've got this big mythological urn here, and we can all come up and we can pour in just a little of some ingredient so that when we put this whole thing together, and I made a very bad mistake with a group one night, and I said, we're going to make love. And they took it another way than the way I meant it. We're going to manufacture this thing. So we're going to produce this love now. And the first doggone thing God puts into the urn, long suffering. Well, I'm out. Count me out. I ain't going to fall in love to suffer. You think I'm crazy? But let's talk about it. If you're honest, even human love suffers. Mother's love suffers. A wife's love suffers. A husband's love suffers. Now, how long will it suffer? That's it. You're out. One thing. That's all. It's over. Other people. Okay. I'll forgive you one time. But twice, you're out of here. See? How long? Long suffering. Some translations call it patience. Okay, what's the difference in the two words? Because I'd love to have more fun with you, but we got to move on. Okay. Now, this word. Oh, what is this word? This word, I'm transliterating, not writing in the Greek for you. Makrothumia. Makrothumia is the Greek. So we know the different words. Hupomone, makrothumia. Two different words. Now, by the way, we won't turn to this, but I have time. I have in my notes that you turn there, but I hope you remember. Galatians 5:22. I won't ask if anybody remember which Greek word is used there. But Galatians 5.22, one of these is a fruit of the Spirit in 5.22. It's makrothumia. Makrothumia, 5.22, fruit of the Holy Spirit. Translated patience there or long suffering. What's the difference in the two words so we can move into this? Because this is crucial to where we are right now in our study in Revelation. Hupomone is a perseverance, an endurance, and it's related to circumstances in your life, events in your life, or the condition under which you live. It's related to events. It's related to circumstances. Makrothumia, this is used in reference to people. This is used in reference to people. You're dealing with people. You want that wonderful quality of spiritual love that is makrothumia. Why? Because people, even if you love someone, they can get on your nerves. I don't know, these people, so much in love, we never get on each other's nerves. Yeah, right, okay. Well, enough to live together in the same house long enough. They're going to get on your nerves. Sometimes a lot. Makrothumia describes spiritual love. The first thing said about spiritual love is makrothumia. It's long-suffering. It's about people. Whereas, hupomone, our passage in our word in Revelation 1:9, is to circumstances. And what are we going to be talking about in the tribulation? Circumstances. You're going to be killed, slaughtered, just because you won't accept the Antichrist. Mark of the beast, then circumstances. It's not talking about a physical or an interrelationship with each other. It's talking about events of the world. Therefore, you're going to need hupomone. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance. Perseverance in the tribulation. Endurance in suffering. To persevere under great suffering. And they're going to have to because they're going to be hated by the Antichrist. They're going to be hated by the beast. They're going to be hated by the two beasts of Revelation 13 that we studied. They're going to be hated by all of these. They're going to be persecuted. Many events, many circumstances will occur in your life to try to stop you from walking by faith, from just trusting in the Spirit of the living God. What does endurance mean? What does it mean to endure tribulation? And to cases like this, it means to go through the suffering of the circumstances, but to continue to walk by faith. When there is no reason to trust you, God, there is no reason to even assume that you love me, that you care about me, that you care about my marriage, that you care about my health, that you care about my work, that you care about my home. There's no reason to believe you did. In fact, there's every indication as far as what? The conditions of my life. You don't love me, God. No, I'm going to persevere. Others will laugh at you, like Job's wife. Others will ridicule you. And it's tough. Don't get this idea that it's just rosy, go, oh, through the most adverse things, and I can see, and oh, I love Jesus. People, it's tough. You're going to cry at night, like some of the prophets. You're going to cry out, why? Because we spent a long series on why. What else to cry out? How long? How long is this going to go on? That doesn't mean you're not walking in faith. It means you're hurting, but you're not walking away from Him. I'm not going to walk away. But God, how long is this going to go on? See, what if that Job failed? They got him. They crushed his soul. But one thing, Job and David, in the midst of their most horrible night, they didn't walk away from him. They still battled it out. What are you doing to me, God? They endured. Persevered. That's what you do under the most extreme of circumstances. Makrothumia, on the other hand, is concerned with people, with one another. Makrothumia means that your love is long-suffering. It will suffer long without what? What does that mean? It will suffer long without stopping loving them. Still love you. And please remember what that love is. That isn't just a lot of people talk about love, but it doesn't do anything. I love you, but I'm sorry about you. I don't know nothing I can do with you. I got to separate from you, but I love you. Well, you can take your love and 35 cents and get you a cup of coffee. And I hope there's gum on the seat to sit on. Look up at God. God looks down and says, well, you know, human race is going to hell. Boy, I created this beautiful garden. Gave you everything in the garden. Gave you this beautiful woman. Gave you this handsome guy. You didn't even know what a woman or guy was until I taught you. I gave you everything. You sinned against me, so to hell with you. But I love you. I love you. I created you. And I just love you. And I'm so sorry you're going to hell. Well, I'm going to be blasphemous because God can take your love and just walk away. Now, what does love do? You've offended me. You sinned against me. But you know what? Because I love you, I'm going to send my son and die for you and bring you out of it. That's what macrothemia is. Hosea, we studied this in the series. Hosea, look at this woman doing to you. Why don't you just divorce her? Get rid of her. You bring her home, she's out with another guy. You bring her home, now she's not only just a free, love-giving woman, she now gets paid for it. She's a whore. You had to buy her back from her pimp. Why don't you just divorce her and leave alone? If I divorce her, I can't be her husband anymore. Well, why would you want to be her husband? She's no good. Because I love her. God wants you to get rid of the Jews. Look at all the stuff they've done to you. Because if I destroy them, I can't be their God. Well, why would you want to be their God? They're no good. Because I love them. Love up. Love's not idle. Love is a force. And what's a force? Is it stands still? No, it's a push and pull. It's a push and pull. So, macrothumia is a relationship with others where your love is long-suffering in this spiritual warfare. Look with me in 1 Corinthians. Well, let's forget 1 Corinthians 13:4. You know it. Love is long-suffering. Love is long-suffering. Now, I'll remind you, because we've still got to complete the last about five things, but remember, the first thing is in pairs. The first thing is inside that no one can see but you. Love is long-suffering. That's what's going on inside your soul. Nobody can see that. But if your love is long-suffering, what can the world... Now, it's kind. If you're not going to walk away from them or punch them in the nose or whatever, what are they going to get? Kindness. But long-suffering has to be first. And all of those go in that order all the way through. But look with me for a moment quickly at 1 Thessalonians. I won't take it through many, but I do want you to sense this. 1 Thessalonians 5. I know what time it is. Just bear with me. Let me complete this with you. This is so powerful, so important a lesson as far as I'm concerned. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. And we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. What does weak mean? Sinners. Be patient. All with all men. Guess what word that is? Macrothumia. Long-suffering. Let me read to you 2 Peter 3:9. Write it down and you can look at it sometime yourself. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is long-suffering toward you. His love is long-suffering toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Now let's look at a few verses with our word, hupomone. That's our word, so we need to spend a little more time on it. The macrothumia, that was because I think it's crucial that you see it. But let's look at our context word, hupomone. We have seen in Galatians 5:22 that macrothumia, long-suffering, is a gift of the Spirit, a fruit of the Spirit, given to us by faith. But I want to tell you something. Hupomone, perseverance, is also a gift from the Holy Spirit. Please look with me at Romans 15:5. It's that important to you. I love to teach when it's raining. I love it. Why do you want to get out? We can just stay here until it stops raining. No, no, don't get nervous. But I just love it. Either sit and study the scriptures or sit in front of a fireplace. So we don't have a fireplace, so we'll sit and study scripture. Okay. Romans 15:5. Look what it says. Now, our word in Revelation 1, you've got to have perseverance in this tribulation we're in. Now may the God who gives hupomone, who gives perseverance, encouragement. That's from God. That's from God the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit gives hupomone, or perseverance, and he gives encouragement. grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. Remember what we had in our opening prayer. I don't want you to turn to Revelation 1:9, but I do want to remind you how all of this is in Jesus Christ. And partaker in the tribulation, related to the kingdom, related to perseverance in Jesus Christ. So look at our verse now. Now may God who gives you perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. People would be in the same mind in this tribulation with one another. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our life for one another. Great perseverance in the circumstances of life and the battles we're in. Not only is hupomone perseverance related to circumstance and adversity and tribulation, the next thing I want you to get in your mind and your soul, it's related to hope. It's related to hope. And I want you to think about this before I go any further. Why do I endure the suffering and the tribulation? Because I know what's up there. I have all the confidence that God is going to call us all home one day. And we're going to be together forever. People, that's why we forgive one another, restore one another, and go through all this adversity, go through all these with endurance. Why? Because we have that hope of what's going to happen out there. Why did Abraham live in a tent instead of a castle, which he could have afforded in his day and time? Why did he live as a nomad roaming around? Because he had the hope, what? Of that land that's his, that promised land. A hope. So what, if you have that kind of hope, you endure. Now, in a fun, minor way, don't we all understand that? I don't know about you. I called college tribulation. It's tribulation. So why do we go there? We have the hope that we'll be able to make a decent income when we get out of this stuff. Basic training in the military. That's unbelievable tribulation. You got to sleep on this little, you've left a spring size bed to sleep on this little cot. You've left a mattress and a springs and everything else to sleep on something that doesn't have springs. You've left your designer bedspread for an army green. You've left your alligator shoes for combat boots. Why would you do all of this stuff? Get up at 4 in the morning and run 5 miles before you even get to eat breakfast. And you're sweating so much it just pours onto the eggs, you don't want to eat them anyway. Then you go out and they just beat you all day. Why would I do all of that? Because there's a hope one day it's going to be over and I'll be a soldier. I'll be what I'm supposed to be. Now, if you see little silly examples of the spiritual battle, the spiritual tribulation, why would we endure our whole lifetime tribulation and working with one another and all these things? Because we have a hope of the future, of eternity. The more you set your eyes on the future, the more you're going to be able to forgive one another, the more you're going to be able to love one another, the more you're going to be able to what? Endure. You're going to walk in the Spirit so you get this gift from Him. So it's related to hope. Related to that hope of what's coming in the future. It's true of the believer in the church age, and it's true of the believers, especially in the great tribulation, in the tribulation ahead. They're going to have this hope that for all of this suffering and killing and massacring of Christians will soon be over. They wouldn't endure it. Why would I endure this if I don't have a hope of something? I'm not going to endure it if there's no hope. So it's related to hope. Please turn to Romans chapter 5. We're almost there. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. I hope you're beginning to see why I spent 2 hours on one verse when we've got a whole book to do. Because to me, this is the heart of what this book is about, tribulation. Romans 5:3, and not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulation. We exalt in it, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. If I'm going to be in tribulation and I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm going to have perseverance. And then look what it says, and perseverance, proven character under about. What is the proven character? Proven character is you're walking by faith, you're trusting Christ, and trusting the Spirit, and proven character, hope. The confidence, the assurance. Please look with me at Romans 8, the great chapter on a spirit-filled life in Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 25. You've got to go with me fast now. We're running tape time here. But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, that's our word, with perseverance, We wait eagerly for it. It is coming, but we're going to have it. Turn to 2 Corinthians 1:6. 2 Corinthians. Well, we'll be in tomorrow night, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6. But if we are afflicted, it's one of your words related to tribulation, it is for your comfort and salvation, deliverance as a believer. Salvation, not salvation one, but as a believer from sin. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, partakers in tribulation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, quickly. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in affliction, in hardship, in distresses, caused by sin, caused by failure, caused by the world, doesn't matter. You're in affliction. Write down and let me read to you 2 Thessalonians 1:4. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance in faith, in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. Okay, here's a summary of Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, in perseverance. What does the perseverance deal with? First of all, perseverance is a gift from God. It's a spiritual gift. It's yours anytime you want to walk by faith in the Spirit. Anytime you want to walk by faith in the Spirit, you get the fruit of the Spirit. Secondly, it is related to your circumstances. Just what's going on in your life. Not even people, really. Circumstances. Three, it is applied in tribulation. Adversity. Hurt. Suffering. Four, because of hope. You have the hope and the confidence of what God is doing. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulations related to the kingdom, requiring perseverance, which are in Jesus. I'm going to give you some verses for your own time. Those of you that like to spend your own time reading, follow this through the scriptures. What I do in my Bible, I've got the first one marked in the back for what the little train I'm going to take you on. I write it back here, tribulation. And I first start with Acts 14:22. Then I go to Acts 14:22 and read. And at the end of 14:22, I got the next one I want to go to. 1 Thessalonians 3:2-8. And at the bottom of that, I go to the next one. 2 Thessalonians 1:3-4. And at the bottom of that one, I got another one. Go to the next place. 2 Corinthians 4:7-18. I am so sorry our time ran out. We can't read these together. And from that one I go to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32-39. Now people, I've given you all the passages we read, plus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different passages with lots of verses on dealing with one another and suffering, tribulation, sin, and all the rest of it. Yet most Christians know about, oh, you sinned. I've got to judge my line and separate. You read the scriptures, we're in a tribulation together. And this is going to go through the church age, chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation. It's going to start going all the way through the first 3.5 years of tribulation, and then the last 3.5 years. What do they need to have? We're partakers, people, in a great tribulation related to the kingdom of God. This is seen only by the eyes of faith, which are more real than the eyes of physical eyes. Close in a word of prayer. Wow. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the journey you've taken us tonight. And seeing how our whole thinking about one another, our whole mindset about one another is related to the kingdom, to being born in Christ, and is of great demand in tribulation and suffering by others, if not ourselves. Their adversities, their failures, not judge them, not call them losers, but rush into their aid because they're partakers in the kingdom and in tribulation. This is not only necessary during the 7 years of tribulation, Heavenly Father. This is essential in the church age. To be able to see the war that we're in. Father, we praise you for the Spirit opening our eyes. We pray now that your Spirit will just take the things that we have covered that are truth, cause them to become a reality in our souls, that they might become the way we live. In Christ's name, amen.